プレイステーション。
Welcome to the land of long-lived play where greatness is always waiting. Welcome to the PlayStation Experience. I'm your host, Delvin Cox. And with me this week, as always, the Platinum Princess herself, Miss Haley Nicole Miller. How are you doing?
Not being held hostage.
That's a good thing. Let's get right into it. Haley, how has your week been?
Well, let's see. Work, pretty much. But not being held hostage comment, I won't go too far into detail because not a lot have been released, but hi, there was a hostage situation in my building that was discovered on Thursday that had been happening for 3 days, and so now there's 24-hour security in my building.
That's some real Florida man shit, without question. Like, Haley told me a little bit about it offline. I'm like, huh? You sure you don't live in Miami? It's wild.
It is ridiculous, and I'm not excited for tomorrow either, because I have mandatory overtime tomorrow. We're recording this on Halloween, so first of the month always sucks, because it's like just rude people going, give me my money! So,
yeah, that's how it usually is. People want their cash. Yeah. Happy Halloween to everybody, by the way.
Happy Halloween. Other than that, what have I watched? Oh, right. I've been watching Smallville because I got my Blu-ray collection, finally.
All 120 seasons of Smallville.
10 seasons.
You will be finished with that by the end of the day.
I will not be finished with that by the end of the day because I'm actually watching them on disc. Which, look, I love Smallville, but come on. You could have done a better job. I'm pretty sure the Blu-rays of the first 5 seasons are just the DVD prints printed on Blu-ray discs.
I'm quite sure that's what it is.
Yeah, which is fine, you know. What else? Oh, Legacy Season 4 started, and I called it. I don't think anybody cares, so I'm going to spoil it.
Not at all. I don't even know what that show is.
Well, it's my profile picture on Discord is what is the main
That's character. The, what is it? Not Vampire Diaries. One of them.
That is a Vampire Diaries spinoff, yes.
Oh, that's what it is? Yeah. Okay, I was right.
It's the second spinoff. Following characters that are like children from like the main show, like children of the characters from the main show. Anyways, Hope died and fully activated Tribird now, so excited to see where that goes.
Okay.
I will not go back into explaining a Tribird because Donnie got mad at me the last time I did that.
Okay, so your fan club is now officially dead.
No. Well, she had to die to activate her vampire side, so she's a vampire now, and okay. A werewolf and a witch at the same time.
Good lord! Have you actually played any games this weekend?
I have, yes. I played Far Cry 6, and this morning, about 45 minutes ago, before I stopped and like started getting ready to record, I made it to episode 6 of Alan Wake Remastered.
Still liking it?
Oh, yeah.
Still
yeah.
Enjoying it?
Yeah, I posted here. I'll grab it while we're talking about it here. I posted it on the on Twitter. I didn't think the platinum would be attainable. Now, I don't know that I'm actually going to go for it, but like, this is all without a guide. I'm just going to go over a couple stats here. Like, so like, there's over 250 collectibles in this game. And without a guide, I've collected like 75 out of 106 manuscript pages, 71 coffee thermoses, gotten all the kill-related trophies. Like, It's not. It doesn't seem too far out, but I die a lot on easy difficulty, so I can't imagine trying to play this game on Nightmare.
Yeah.
So.
I vaguely remember Alan Wake being hard, but entertaining, so I get it. I haven't went back to it yet. I play it only after I play everything that I'm playing and trying to actually beat some of this stuff. But anything else you're playing right now, Ellie?
No, not right now. I had gone back to it to play because my best friend finally got started playing The Last of Us 2 and then got very mad at the story and hasn't gone back to it. So I was essentially playing it through with them so they would play, but they've gotten to the point where they're playing as a specific character and they don't want to do that because they don't like that character.
Okay. I get that 100%.
So, yeah. So I haven't played that. I jumped into
I have a question.
Yes.
Is the friend that is playing male or female?
The friend that is playing is non-binary.
Okay. I'm asking because I want to know I want to know if they continue playing it. Two, I want to know the response when they get to the end.
So let me put it this way. I have two friends playing it. My best friend and a friend from Sweden. The friend from Sweden has played through all of the second half of the game up to the epilogue. Has not finished the epilogue yet. My best friend has finished all of day 3 as Ellie and has not moved past day 1 as the other character.
Okay, I ask this because I've noticed a trend with people who play it. A lot of the women I know that play the game, they like it. They like that part. A lot of the male people I know, they're like, once you get to that second half, they're like, they usually drop out because they don't want to play as that character.
It's got nothing to do with that. So, like, I'm not going to out them or anything, but, like, both these friends are non-binary. One played through up to the epilogue, but hasn't gone back yet, just because they needed a break from it. And my best friend just generally does not enjoy the character of, well, it's been long enough, the character of Abby. and also, before anyone gets, you know, anybody who cares, I'm sure this will stir comments. Has nothing to do with Joel's death, by the way. Why they don't want to play it as Abby. So
it's been long enough now. So, like, come on. If you haven't played The Last of Us 2 by now, and you're a PlayStation fan, come on. Like, yeah.
So, really. So that's been interesting to deal with.
I asked that because the conversation behind this game, to me, is fascinating. Even probably more fascinating than the conversation behind Part 1, because there seems to be such a visceral fan base towards this game that either likes the Abby character or despises the Abby character.
Well, and
you constantly hear about it all the time. Like every couple of months, that argument comes up like, oh, screw Abby. Or, hey, we love Abby.
I love that anytime I mention that I don't like Abby, I'm calling out a specific person who I won't mention their name in the Discord. I get yelled at about, they killed Joel, get over it. I'm like, I don't care that Joel died. I don't. I just don't like Abby as a character. Like, I don't. I've specified several times why I don't like Abby as a character, and it has nothing to do with the fact that she killed Joel. I expected Joel to die.
You know my opinion on it. I've always been, like, in the middle. I felt like the Abby segments were too long.
I mean, that entire game is too long. It's like 30 hours compared to the first game being, like, 12.
I agree with that too. I feel like the entire game is way too long. The Abby segments drag out a lot. I felt like the ending with her was excellent. I liked the ending a lot. I liked that whole dynamic of where you see her when she starts to the person she becomes when it ends. But yeah, when you're first playing as Abby through a good portion of that game, she's unequivocally a shitty person. Unlikable. But I guess that's the point of it.
I don't know. It's weird. Let's not delve too deep into this. We've gone over this 100 times. What are you even playing?
I'm still playing. I took a break from Far Cry 6 because I want to finish the Guardians of the Galaxy. And I absolutely love this game. This game is so much fun. It's silly. It's ridiculous. It feels like you're playing the movie. And that's not a bad thing. Because these are different characters in the movie. Like, you are... When you start the game, I don't want to spoil every little detail about it, but you are...
So, for reference, I've seen a bit of gameplay because I watched this morning, just while I was like waiting and setting up, I watched James Stephanie Sterling's Jimpressions video on it. So,
yeah. So, you're kind of with a younger Guardians team. Mm-hmm. They're not too young, but they're kind of newly together. So, they're not all the way gelling together like they are in like Guardians 2 or something like that. There's still elements of the team that's kind of volatile. But that makes it fun. That makes it entertaining because there are genuinely funny moments in this game. Like, I can spoil this one part. There's one part in the game where there's this big chasm that you have to get across. You have to figure out a way to come across it. And Drax is in the background like, how about I throw the raccoon? And Rocket's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You son of a bitch, don't touch me. And you can pick and Star-Lord with a throw Rocket or don't throw Rocket. So I picked throw Rocket. And the hilarity that followed after that was just amazing. Rocket screams. He's cursing at you guys across the other side of the ravine and stuff like that. And then Gamora says, well, at least he's not trying to shoot at us. And then he starts shooting at you guys. It's just amazing.
I don't even think that counts as a spoiler, because I think that was the first gameplay reveal they showed for Guardians, was that scene where they throw a rocket across the gorge. I think that was the first introduction when that game was shown. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great scene. Playing it in action and seeing it, I have so much fun with it. The thing about it that I think is cool is, the game has licensed music in it. Mm-hmm. Now, I know people who want to stream the game think that's a problem, but you can turn the licensed music off for streaming.
There's a problem with streamer mode that they need to fix, though. Do you know what it is?
No, I'm not streaming this game.
I know, but it's very good that the streamer mode is in there, but when you have streamer mode on, guess what goes across the top of the screen, and you can't hide it.
What it goes across the top of the screen?
Streamer mode on. Just stays at the top of your screen and like blocks UI features.
That's stupid. So. But the cool thing about the whole thing is when you're playing the game, there are certain moments, like they have these called team huddles, where like you're being mid-fight and stuff like that. And if you're getting your ass kicked, it's a meter that fills up. You press the buttons and then you as Star-Lord has to give the team a speech. And there are like certain words you can pick out of the speech. It gives Star-Lord the ability to give the team a speech to either boost up all their abilities or it only boost up your ability because you're trying to hype up the team. And it's funny because Star-Lord will be like, all right, team, we're down and out. And he has to give a good speech. And either they'll get it like, oh, that was a great speech. Or they'll say something real funny like, what are you even talking about? Just walk away sad. And the cool thing about it is, when you nail the speech, they'll play one of the licensed songs. So, I was kicking this one of the boss's ass. I was beating the hell out of this boss. And I called the speech in. And then they were like, oh, yeah, we're doing great. And then I got the speech right. They went out to fight. And then they started playing the final countdown. As I'm about getting ready to beat the boss. So, it was super, super cool that I beat the boss playing the final countdown in the background. It was just such a little nice element to it that just was super, super fun. I love it. This game is awesome. And it's what I like about it the most is it's so different than all the other Marvel games out there. It's not like Spider-Man. It's not like Avengers. It's kind of its own thing where it's kind of this action RPG weird kind of Mass Effect type game. And it's a blast. I like it a lot.
inside baseball here. I have a second project I'm working on with someone else. I'll tell you about it later, people. But that name I suggested for it, Delvin, yeah, that's already taken. So I'm letting them know your suggestion is
The simple suggestion. Yeah, that one should work. But otherwise, the Guardians, I've played one other game. I also bought Fatal Frame because I never played the Wii U version of it. So I have that on my PS5 ready to go. And I also bought this indie game called Shaolin versus the Wu-Tang. Have you heard of this, Haley?
No, but it's not surprising that it exists.
Okay. It's a fighting game. But the cool thing about this fighting game is it's essentially all of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and I guess the 90s, I guess you could say, karate stars in one game fighting against each other. Like, for example, they don't call them by their names. They call them by their fighting style. That's how they got to get around it. But you can tell who it is. Like, there's Jackie Chan in the game, but he's called, like, Drunken Fighter Master. He looks exactly like Jackie Chan from the movie. I think it was called Drunken Fighter Master. He looks exactly like his character from the movie. There's Jean-Claude Van Damme, clearly from Bloodsport, in the movie. And they call him, like, can't remember his name. But each one of their bios has, like, what they're in the tournament for. There's Bruce Lee from Enter the Dragon. There's Tung Po from, I think that was Bloodsport too. They have all the characters. There's Chuck Norris, and you just kind of play. You can either play against each other as these characters, or you can play this kind of like tournament where it's very like cheaply put together. It feels more like a early 90s arcade fighting game, like Mortal Kombat 1. Almost it feels it plays a little bit like. But I'm having fun with it. It's super fun because, like I said, it has all of the action stars, the karate stars from the 90s movies and stuff, 80s, 70s, 60s movies, and it's just super fun. It's very janky because you can tell it's an indie game. It's like $10, $10-$12 and stuff like that. But it's super fun and super cool to see how they made this game with clearly these characters from these movies and got around. I guess they got around having to pay these characters because it looks. The guy who's Van Damme looks like Van Damme. If you look at him, like, oh, that's Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's Jackie Chan. Oh, that's Jet Li from this movie. No, that's Bruce Lee. And they even have their signature weapons and stuff like that. And it's a super cool game. I like it a lot so far, at least. It's bare bones as hell.
You playing anything else?
That's about it.
No, I don't have no Far Cry, no nothing.
No, I haven't. I'm pausing on the other games. So I want to beat Guardians first because Guardians is only 20 hours, I think. So I figure once I beat Guardians, I can finish Far Cry up.
Hey, while we're talking about Far Cry, hey Ubisoft, I'm already playing your game. You don't need to send me emails in a condescending fashion, pretending to be Anton Castillo threatening me.
Oh, we can talk about that since you brought it up. So you got one of the emails.
I did. I will read it verbatim because it is ridiculous.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Ubisoft is doing this thing where if you stop playing Far Cry, Anton Castillo messages you and chastises you to get you back in the game. Like, hey, thank you for giving up your mission.
Yeah, so like, I got this email last Sunday, and I was playing the game at the time I got the email, so this was very weird, but I got it, and these are all supposed to be meant in Taken from Giancarlo Esposito's, like, in-character. You believe you've taken something from me. You must understand, this island runs in my blood. I am Yara, that tiny part you have stolen. It belongs to me, and will return to my hands after soldiers have run you down like a dog. And then it just gives you, like, what you've done in the game so far. But all of these stats were wrong at the time they sent them to me.
They probably going up off of way old stats on the game. They probably haven't pulled your stats in a while based off of it. But I haven't gotten the email yet, so I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, when did you stop playing?
Maybe a couple days ago now.
Have you, like, completed the first area with the Monteros?
You talking about the small island?
No, I'm talking, like, once you get to, like, the big map.
No, I've been doing all the side missions there.
Okay, because, like, so, I only got that email after I completed, like, the Montero story, so, like, now I have to start either the El Tigre, or like the Legends, or the radio show people.
Okay, so I'm pretty much finished with that area. I just haven't like finished done any of the story missions.
Yeah,
the story mission stuff I haven't done, but all the, like the side quests and stuff, all of the little what do you call them? The surface to aircraft spots I've blown up and stuff like that.
Anti-aircraft missiles. Those spots are really weird because like you can see that if you zoom in, you can see the uranium on the map before you know it's an anti-aircraft cannon. So it's just like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go collect that, and I know that's going to be an anti-aircraft cannon before they even mark it on your map.
Oh, that's cool. I never even thought about trying that. But yeah, I've been kind of playing all the side stuff and doing all that stuff, like the tank mission I liked a lot and stuff like that. So I haven't really gotten into the story stuff, and I've gotten so much into the side mission stuff, I've ended up found myself on other sides of the map in that area doing that stuff. So, you know, I'm supposed to usually do that Montero area. I have stuff like in that area done and in the area next to it done. I'm like, oh, I guess it's part of the same area. Well, it's not. But
no.
So
I will say I've been a little bit into like the big city area, and like parts of it are walled off and it's not as big as they lead you to believe. So.
Okay, so I'll probably try a little bit of it today, but like I said, I want to beat Guardians first to have so everything else can have my undivided attention. Because like I said, Guardians is not that long. I mean,
Forza comes out soon, is it?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to play Forza that much because, it's, like I said, there's no story mode or nothing like that in Forza, I don't think.
There is a story mode in Forza, but
there's
always a story mode in Forza, at least Horizon. Horizon like 3 had you running the show for the first time, and then I didn't actually get to play 4 that much. So we'll see what 5's is about, but generally there's a story, like you pick your avatar and that and go from there. So we'll see.
Okay, so I'll check it out.
Early access is Friday though, if you care about that. So
I'll check that out then. That's a good idea. Thank you for letting me know that. So, we have one question, but the question ties into the news, so I kind of added the question with the news, and we'll answer that question as we get the news. So, the first news topic is, this has been a kind of a big topic in the Discord, so we'll touch on it here. Sony has formed the PlayStation PC label for its PC games push. The label registration is seemingly under another sign that PlayStation tends to take PC seriously. So, for those who don't know, PlayStation has kind of made a new label for their company. It's called PlayStation PC to promote their PlayStation games being on PC as well. So, what are your thoughts when you first saw this, Haley?
It was great. And I still never understand all the idiots in the comments who just get mad that more people can play these games.
Well, let me get to the question, because RootDays93 had a question, and we can touch on everything like that in all one kind of felt swoop. With Sony continuing its PC push, do you ever see a time that Sony will put its biggest PlayStation 2 studio titles day in date with a PC release? And if not day in date, what is the lowest amount of time you see Sony porting their games to PC? So what do you think, Haley?
So this is kind of like threefold, honestly. I think them continuing their PC push is great because it just allows more people to play the games. And I'll never understand people getting upset. Like, as part of this question, I think we're about to see the shortest time between launch to release, because it leaked that Sackboy is also coming to PC.
I will say this.
A data listing.
Not to cut you off, but I wanted to touch on what you said earlier. I don't get why people say this about PC. I completely understand why people say it about Xbox. Like a PlayStation game coming to Xbox or Xbox game going to PlayStation, I would 100% understand why people get mad at that. Even though it's kind of silly, if it's like a year down the line, it's silly. But people buy their systems for exclusivity. So if everything's coming on like everything, what do you need the system for?
Well,
you just buy it.
You know my thoughts on exclusivity in general, but that's not how business works. So.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, Well, let's get to what you said first before I go into that part of it.
So as I was saying, like, I think that, like, we're about to see the shortest time from, like, launch on PlayStation to release. This is obviously isn't confirmed, but, like, through data mining, it's been, like, when they announced this, it was kind of leaked that, like, Sackboy, A Big Adventure has a PC listing as part of the database on Steam. So that's pretty interesting. Obviously, no release date information or whatnot, but I don't know that we will see day and date, if ever, at least for, like, years. I think maybe by the end of the generation you'll see it. I don't know. Currently, I think the shortest you'll see is probably, like, 6 to 8 months.
I think I kind of agree, and I'll tell you why I think that. I'm not a computer nerd at all, as though you people may know. I feel like the extra time it may take to make a PC port of their PlayStation game, because usually these PlayStation exclusives are made specifically for PlayStation. So unless they're changing the way they make the games, I don't know if they can get it. I don't know if they can get it done day and date just yet. Because even on Horizon, didn't when Horizon came out on PC, it was like a broken mess?
It was, and that's why when people keep asking about the leaked and pretty much confirmed, but we just still don't know the release date for it, Bloodborne port, is that everything got pushed back so that polish can be added, so that the Horizon Zero Dawn PC port situation did not happen. Like, when Days Gone's PC port came out, much more polished. Like, game was literally, essentially, the fully patched PS4 game on PC. Like, none of the launch problems there at all. Anything like that. And, like, I love Days Gone, but, like, that game was kind of broken at launch, so.
I think when they can get it down where the PC port can be the same as the PlayStation port day and date, then I think that will happen. Because Sony wants to make money. That's what this is all about. They're putting on PC to make money. Point blank, simple and plain. That's the whole goal of this.
It's. I always think of Paris Lilly's video that he posts every time a PC port, whether it's Xbox or PlayStation, gets announced. Where he, like, is holding Horizon, the PS4 case. And he goes, "Can't wait to play this on PC." Tosses it aside. Pulls up Uncharted 4. "Can't wait to play this on PC." Tosses it aside. Like, I don't know why y'all are getting mad about this. Let more people play these games.
Well, that's a silly notion as well, because people want to. Not everybody wants to play games on PC. For those who want to play it, it should be fine that they get the opportunity to play it. You know, but people buy PlayStation to play PlayStation games.
I mean, sure, but also, like, God of War is a perfect example. By the time that game comes out on PC, it will have been almost 4 years since launch. Because that game will be 3 months shy of 4 years of being released. When the first one comes out on PC, which is like,
and that to me, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I don't think it should be that long for to wait for a PC version of it. Honestly,
it makes sense. I think they'll get closer. Like I said, there's no obviously confirmation of this, but, like, it pretty much seems that Sony is making PS5 versions of all of their big PS4 exclusives. Like, they've done Uncharted 4. They've done Ghosts as, like, PS5. And then, you know, they're doing Uncharted 4 as PS5 and PC. There's rumors that Ghosts is coming to PC, which would not surprise me at all. Let's see. I would not be surprised to see at least The Last of Us Remaster, remake, go to PC.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
So we'll see. I don't know if they'll do the remaster of, like, the original on PC, or they'll wait until the remake. That one may come day and date if it does go to PC, just because it's the first game essentially over again. I don't know. It's very exciting to see this stuff happen. Now, I don't know. I don't really play on PC because, like, the convenience of the console is very nice.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, a lot of people don't want to deal with all the stuff that goes into PC gaming. I know people say, "Oh, that's easy." Yeah, it's easy for somebody who knows about technology and stuff like that. But it's a lot easier plugging in a PlayStation 5, putting the disc in, loading it up, and playing.
I mean, yeah, because, like, okay, so the PS5 is, like, kind of the first time where you can, like, add extra storage. Which, speaking of, since the last time we recorded XP, I've done that. I now have, like, Samsung 980 Pro M2 SSD 2 terabytes in my console. So, lots of extra room now on the PS5, which is very nice. But, like, that's the first time that's ever been done. I literally had to go buy the proper screw to do that. I don't want to be doing that with my computer all the time just to play Doom, for example.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you know, PC is good for people who are into that stuff. And I'm not going to knock PC at all. I think it's dope. But if you just want to hop in and play a game, like, you know, PlayStation or Xbox, it's perfect for that. That's why when everybody was saying at that point in time when people were saying, oh, consoles are going to go away, I'm like, no.
No, they won't.
No, they're not. Consoles are never going to go away because there's always going to be a group of people who just want to play something with the least amount of effort.
Yeah, they want to plug the box in and know it's going to work. And, like, I'm not knocking on PC. In fact, the computer I'm recording this on is a gaming PC. I just don't use it for that.
Yeah.
But, like, also another reason I don't really use it to play games is, like, I'm not going to move my camera, but right beside this computer is my work computer. And during the week, I don't really get to use my laptop. So my laptop stays closed for most of the week so that I have space to use my work computer.
Yeah,
I'd rather be able to turn my console on and play a game after work. So,
yeah, I think it's a lot easier and simple. I think this is dope for people who want to play those PlayStation games. And I think this is a good middle ground in terms of, like, hey, if you're an Xbox person and you always wanted to play these certain PlayStation games, if you have a PC around the house, here's your chance. Just like kind of how Game Pass is that for PlayStation people. Like, if you want to play these Xbox games, just buy Game Pass on PC, and you can play those Xbox games that you want, and you can still get that experience. I think where we're getting in gaming, it's a good place. I think it's a really good place in terms of, hey, you can play what you want at almost at a very cheap price. Like, I think that's cool. Like, we get into a really good place in video gaming in general.
Yeah.
Where you can play what you want almost with anything you want to. And these companies are making bukus of money off of it. That's the best thing about it. So
yeah.
All these notions that people are like, oh, they need to make money. They need to make money. Video game, no, they're making plenty of money. You don't have to worry about Microsoft going broke. You don't have to worry about Sony going broke. I know people are like, oh, Sony's not as big as Microsoft. Well, Sony also is a multi-billion-dollar company. They'll be okay.
They're all multi-billion-dollar companies. They'll be fine.
So, the next topic. We have been waiting for a long time to hear from Amy Hennig. Like, I think the last time we heard from her was she's supposed to be working on a Star Wars game.
Yeah, that was right when Visceral got shut down.
Yeah, then her studio got shut down. And the game sounded awesome. So earlier this week, we got the announcement that Amy Hennig and Skydance are working on an unannounced Marvel game. The project will be an original story in partnership with Marvel Entertainment. So what do you think about that, Haley?
Wow.
Amy Hennig, Marvel game, what do you think it could be, for one thing?
I don't know, but I know Janina Gavankar, I probably butchered her last name, is involved, so... She tweeted about that after this story came out.
So that kind of makes me believe what I think. It is what I thought it was.
Which is?
Daredevil. I think it's Daredevil. And that would be awesome. I had two things I thought it could have been. I thought it could be Daredevil or Moon Knight. Since you say that name, I can see her being Elektra.
I'd rather her be a character that's never had a video game. Daredevil's been in video games. I would love. I'm gonna get roasted.
Has he been in a video game?
Yeah.
Or has he been in video games? I think has he even had his own solo video game that's been good?
No.
He hasn't had anything like substantial. No. He's been like in Marvel fighting games and stuff like that. Ultimate Alliance. He hasn't had his own game.
I will never see this game come to light, but I would love a Quake video game.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. I don't think it's happening.
No, it's definitely not happening. Look, I love Quake. I love Daisy Johnson so much, but like, I don't.
I feel like the ship has sailed for that because I feel like There was a point in time you could have made an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. video game. And I think you still can.
No, not with Kevin Feige essentially declaring Agent Carter, the Netflix shows, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. all non-canon. So,
well, that even taking that out, I think you still can make an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. video game without acknowledging that, like, the MCU. Like, hey, here's the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. video game. Quake is one of the characters, like an XCOM type game or something like that. Coulson, Quake, certain characters, not necessarily from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, but because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a thing in Marvel.
It is. But, like, and so is Quake. Quake was a thing well before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, Quake was the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics for a time. I don't know. It'll be interesting, but, like, we don't really have much to go on with this story because apparently development started in 2019 and, like, then the pandemic happened. So I imagine we probably won't see this game till like, 2023, if we see it at all, yeah. Because Amy Hennig seems to have terrible luck.
Yeah, I think we have a little bit to go on because we know what kind of game she makes. Amy Hennig kind of makes, like, Uncharted is her blueprint. That's why I kind of immediately went to Daredevil, because I feel like that type of formula works for Daredevil or maybe Moon Knight. But then when you said,
Dracula, you big fucking nerd, where's my goddamn money?
I feel like that would be cool.
For anybody who doesn't know what I just referenced, that's an edited, it's not real. I wish it was real. Moon Knight does swear, but like not like that. That's an edited meme image of Moon Knight walking down steps calling up for Dracula.
Moon Knight's an awesome character, by the way.
I can't wait for that Disney Plus show.
When does that come out?
I think it's slated for next year.
Okay. I think that it would be cool if she does a Daredevil. I know some people are tired of the Marvel things. I'm not because most of the things are different.
Hold on. You can name him. You can name him. You can just say Donnie.
I don't think he's the only person who has Marvel fatigue, to his credit. I think some people just have the fatigue of Marvel in general because Marvel has been dominant for so long. And I get why people have the fatigue, but
I don't.
For the most part,
I don't.
Marvel hasn't been missing.
Do you know why? So I have fatigue with some of the Marvel live action stuff. Like, I'm not really excited for Eternals, but I'll go see it, I guess. We won't get into the drama with that came about this week. I'm excited for Marvel stuff in the gaming space because besides Insomniac Spider-Man, most Marvel games have not been good.
Yeah, we haven't been getting that much, and the stuff we've been getting has been really good. It's been kind of sparse. Like, we've gotten Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, and even that's been sparse. We've gotten Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, okay. So, like, Marvel vs. Capcom, I wouldn't really count as part of this. Like, was it Ultimate? No, it was something else. Like, the... Just, like, Ultimate Alliance with like, the top-down corridor games, yes. Right? There was another one, I think. I know it was on, like, the... I'm just trying to think. It was a fighting game, but it was on, like, the original Xbox, which is a weird sentence to have to say.
Marvel Rise of the Imperfects, you talking about?
I think so. The one where, like, they all have, like, darker versions of their costumes. Like, they had their regular costumes, but then their costumes could become, and they essentially started to look like Metal Mario versions.
Yes, yeah. I think that's the game.
Yeah. Like, that game was pretty good, but it was a fighting game, right? So...
Yeah, we haven't really gotten that much in the video game space. I know it seems like it we have because we got Spider-Man. We got Spider-Man Miles Morales. We got Avengers. We're getting this Marvel XCOM game. But we really haven't gotten that much.
Which made a lot of people angry when they found out it was card-based combat.
Yeah, but, you know, I think we've gotten to that point where people are excited for a long time. During the 10 years, the MCU was a thing, and it still is a thing, by the way. But during those first 10 years, people were like, hey, can we get a Marvel game? Can we get a Marvel game? Can we get a Marvel game?
And the only games they got were movie tie-ins that were terrible. I'm looking at you, Iron Man video games. The only one of the Marvel movie tie-in games that was good was Captain America.
That is very true. I'm glad you said that, because that's the only one that was any quarter being good. So it's kind of like now that we're getting good Marvel games, people are like, oh. That's cool. People want to see more of it. And that's great. I think It's a call of spade a spade. Marvel's top dog now. Shang-Chi's is probably the biggest movie this year. You know, Eternals probably going to break records.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Venom passed Shang-Chi's sales records.
And that's still, Venom's still a Marvel
it
movie.
It is. And I love Venom, but it makes Dude Bros so angry when they find out that Venom does well. Because they're like, we don't want more of this. And I'm like, no, we do want more. Give me all of the more. Give me the relationship between Eddie and the symbiote, please.
People, like, but that's my point. Like, people still are craving the Marvel stuff. So you can't be like, well, we don't want it. I didn't even like Venom 2 that much, but.
I haven't seen it. Because not to bring COVID into it, but I wanted to see it, and then they released capacity limits in the theater, and there's a bunch of assholes around here who won't fucking get vaccinated.
Oh, okay. So it's Florida.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Marvel movies are still selling in the time after the pandemic. All these high-grossing movies are still the Marvel movies. So if you want people to stop, if you want these creators to stop making Marvel movies, stop seeing Marvel movies. It's a simple answer. Like, as long as people are seeing Marvel movies, as long as people are watching Marvel movies and paying to see Marvel movies, we're going to get more Marvel movies. That's how that works.
Yeah.
DC movies are still going on strong because people are still paying to see DC movies.
That Flash trailer, like, they essentially said we have nothing but that trailer fandom.
Yeah.
Oh, did you notice that the second Flash was essentially wearing a red spray painted Batman suit with the Flash symbol on it?
I didn't notice that.
That
was cool.
Although, slight tangent here. It's not such shenanigans. I don't know how they're going to do the Flashpoint storyline without the reverse Flash. They're not doing Eobard Thawne. Essentially, the villain of that movie is Barry himself, and I don't understand it.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's probably going to be Barry's going to be Thawne, a version of Thawne, essentially.
It's like, why wouldn't you just use Cobalt Blue then?
I don't know.
That's a deep cut for people who don't read comics, by the way. That's in the comics, that's Barry Allen's long-lost twin brother, whose name is actually Malcolm Thawne, and they're apparently doing a version of that storyline on The Flash this season, so that'll be interesting to see.
But my point is, you just kind of nailed my point, that people are into comics still.
Oh, yeah.
If you want people not to watch comic book movies and support comic books, you want to stop supporting it. And also, add to that, like, support the stuff that you want to see. We have a whole bunch of movies coming out that nobody wastes their time seeing. Like, Dune came out. People are seeing Dune, so that's great.
Yeah, Dune's also on HBO. Wow, there's a lot of dust on this. I didn't realize that. that's probably going to make me sneeze. Anyways, like, you want a good... Like, if you're not really into, like, the live-action stuff, go watch some of the animated stuff. Do not watch the Injustice movie because it's terrible. You're a fan of Injustice or not, that movie is terrible. Watch Batman The Long Halloween instead.
Fantastic.
Jensen Ackles does a great Batman.
That is fantastic. That was really good. All right, now, let's touch on another topic. PAX South is no more.
What? I don't know.
So they released a statement earlier this week on their Twitter, and I'm going to try to read it all to you in whole. When the first PAX was held in 2004, we expected at most 100 locals to show up. Never in our wildest dreams did we anticipate more than 3,000 passionate fans to arrive, or for our one-time event to turn to a series held in 5 cities across the world. Each of our other events have flourished, some of them drawing hundreds of thousands of attendees from around the world. PAX South hasn't expanded and to some extent has remained the same show that it was when we opened in 2015. Faced with that reality and compounded by the impact of COVID-19, we've made the difficult decision to bring PAX South to an end for the foreseeable future. The heart of PAX South lies in the incredible memories we made in our Texas community and with the international fans and enforcers who came out to support the show. We are all sorry to all our friends who were looking forward to the show's return in 2022. We join them in that. We hope that we can see you again at other PAX, as with the other PAX returns. You will forever be a part of our family and legacy of PAX. We've learned a great deal from you, and the future shows will be better from it. Thank you, San Antonio, for always embodying the pack spirit by welcoming home gamers and the people who make things we love, the PAX team. So, essentially, COVID has killed PAX. PAX South.
I'm honestly surprised it hasn't killed PAX Unplugged, or did that already die?
I think PAX Unplugged is still a thing. I haven't seen an announcement about that. But I'm kind of like, this is interesting. I felt like PAX South was too close to the other PAX. What is it, PAX East?
It's PAX East, West, Unplugged.
West?
No, I already said it. It's PAX.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think where West is at.
West is Seattle. East is Boston, I believe. I think Unplugged was in Boston as well. I'm not entirely sure. Let me look it up.
I feel like PAX South was kind of in a bad area. Not necessarily bad in terms of bad, like, location. It was bad location in terms of, like, okay, PAX South should have been somewhere like Georgia, Florida, someplace like that, where it's actually in the South. I think it would have been done better because PAX East is in Boston, makes sense, but I don't think everybody who's in the South will go there. I feel like the South, in terms of the Southeast, is an untapped market that they could have done really good with. But nobody goes there.
PAX is held annually in Seattle, Boston, Philadelphia, and rest in peace, San Antonio in the United States, and Melbourne in Australia. Or Melbourne, as people say.
But yeah, it's sad to see PAX go. It's probably one of the many events that's going to be going because of COVID. It's one of the bigger ones, of course. E3 is still kicking, apparently.
As much as it's probably like not ever going to return to what it was. It's no longer like one big like week of news. Like, gaming news is now spread out through the summer. So,
yeah, I think we're getting to that point where, unfortunately, we're going to see less and less of these events happen and come out because of COVID, for one thing, and the restriction that COVID has placed and the things you have to do now because of COVID to have these events. And frankly, the buzz for PAX South as they said themselves, the buzz for PAX South wasn't there.
Did you see the PAX convention that happened a few weeks ago?
No, I did not.
Did you see what the show floor was like? It was empty, dude.
Yeah, I believe it because, like I said, people are still cautious about going places. You can't tell from Florida, of course, but they're still...
Let's not take cues from the area of the country led by the man who just believes that if he says COVID is over, it's over.
Yeah, you can't... People are still cautious about going places. So having events like... Unless you're in a place like Florida, where restrictions are just basically nothing, have an event like PAX South, is it really going to hit?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And you would think it would hit in Texas.
Well, it's like Fan Expo here. Fan Expo was going to do their big annual convention, and they had to do like a smaller one over the weekend, and I heard nothing from it, essentially. Like, it was tiny.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the casualties of COVID-19, man. It sucks, but at least they're honest with what's going on. They kind of tell us, like, hey, this ain't making no money for us, essentially. Not enough people are going to it, not enough people are supporting it, so we're going to have to close it down. And it'll probably eventually be back in one way or another. I think it will. They'll probably do it, try it again eventually. But right now, the best thing for them to do is just kind of end it.
Well, that's that specific one. I'm sure PAX East in the new year will be packed.
Yeah, I think so too.
So
Haley, tell us about this Horizon news before we get to our final news story for the day.
Okay. So let me, why would you, where'd it go? I had it up here. Where did it go? I'll just click on the link. okay.
That's what I thought you were going to do.
So, okay. So, earlier this week, PlayStation released 24 seconds. 24 seconds of New Horizon gameplay footage. Showcasing Aloy using the Pullcaster to grapple up a lamppost, fire the bow in midair, and then use the glider. I forget what they call the glider now. To descend and then continue fighting. And then, alongside that 24 seconds of gameplay footage, they released a blog post, which I won't really read because it does contain spoilers for Zero Dawn.
Yes.
Detailing like new features for the game, and like, so I'm very excited to like see where Aloy's evolution continues to go. That gameplay footage looks fantastic. So they've mentioned that like you can free climb pretty much anywhere in the world now, which is great. However, the Pullcaster will only be able to be used at like yellow points, which makes sense because it needs something to hook to. But you know, they're taking cues from other games, specifically the free climbing aspect from like Breath of the Wild, or although I don't really think this is the case, some people say Skyrim, where you can make the horse go 90 degrees up a wall. But you know, there's a lot you can do now with the traversal, and it's very exciting to see. I do love that they released this footage right as Xbox did their first campaign showcase for Halo. But I don't know. It's very interesting. I really don't think this game's going to get delayed. I know February is fucking stacked. Like, there's so much in February now. It's like, please, why? Why has February become the new hot button month for games? Like,
yeah, that, it's been like that for a few years now, I want to say, right?
Yeah, it usually is, but then stuff moves. But like, so far, nothing has moved. Like, literally everything is in February. And I'm just like, what's going to move? Or is anything going to move? Or are they all going to go in that month? Like,
I don't think anything's going to move, because I think a lot of the stuff that's there now has been delayed into February.
Like, so like in that month alone, there's Life is Strange Remastered, Dying Light 2, Horizon, Sifu, Saints Row, Elden Ring, for those who care about Destiny, The Witch Queen. Like, that's all in that one month, and that's not even counting indie games. Like, it's packed.
Yeah, it's really packed. I'm excited for it. I feel like this month was packed.
Not really. Like, it was spread out. Like, most of the big games came out at the beginning of the month. Like,
Far Cry, Alan Wake,
Far Cry,
Dark Pictures Anthology new game, House of Ashes. Guardians of the Galaxy.
But that Guardians and Riders Republic were at the end of the month, but then there was like a lull for like 2 weeks in there. Not as big as you would think, right? Then like next month, Friday, actually, this upcoming Friday, is Call of Duty. For those who buy the premium pack for Forza Horizon 5 is early access. If you don't buy early access, it's available on the 9th. But that's all I can really think of for like big tentpole releases in November. Aside from
Halo's,
Skyrim,
when's Halo? Halo's December.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense then. It's cool. I like February being packed and crowded because it gives you kind of. I like the spring releases. I know people don't, but I wish when I was a kid they was like, "Hey, everything's coming out in June, so you have to hold summer to play this," or "Everything's coming out before spring break, so you have spring break to play all these cool games, or at least one of them knock out the way." The fall kind of thing is cool, because I guess it's because like you're getting it before Christmas break as a kid. I'm looking at this as if I was a kid. If I was a 16-year-old kid, I know Christmas break is coming up. This is what I'm going to do with my 2 weeks of Christmas break. So I think it's cool to have it spaced out like that. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so like it's the thing. Like, I bring up the game leases in relation to the Horizon news because, like, Horizon was slated for this year, got pushed back due to, you know, COVID and everything else, and they want to make sure it's polished. So, but like, the game looks good. It looks fantastic. I'm honestly expecting we'll maybe get another longer trailer at the Game Awards coming up. Maybe showcase some more of that traversal mechanics. Donnie brought this up on the Discord, but I'd like to see some more area rather than the beach, though. Because they've really only shown the beach. Like, show us some of that snowy location or whatnot.
Yeah, I think that we'll probably get some of that maybe before launch, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. If we don't get a trailer at the Game Awards, we might get what they did for Ghost of Tsushima with, like, a solid state of play just focused on Horizon. So
I honestly don't need to see any more of it. I just gotta. I'm to that point where I just want to play it. Like, hey, it's coming out in a couple months. I'm cool. I don't need to see no more. I start putting out your commercials for it, and I'm good with that.
You know, like, you know what I want to see more of for sure, though? Tiny Tina's Wonderlands.
Yeah. What is that coming out?
March. We gonna play that together, sir?
Hmm. I'll try it with you.
It's D&D.
I feel like I have to. Because I've gotten to this point now in my life where my friends keep asking me to play games, and I keep telling them no, and then I feel bad because they genuinely want to play. Like, for example, I played a couple weeks ago, I played Fortnite with Fowler because he kept asking me to play it, so I played with him a little bit, like, okay, this didn't kill me, so I'll play.
Well,
I'm
playing online with friends is much more tolerable if you're in a party chat and not in open game chat hearing people, this was fun. I will not repeat these noises, A, because this podcast is explicit enough as it is, but this TikTok was fantastic. So, like, this girl I follow on TikTok, she, like, makes TikToks about, like, her Call of Duty lobbies, and she joined a Call of Duty lobby, and as soon as she enters, this guy's going, "You guys, welcome back to our ASMR session. On this ASMR session, I'm gonna make dick-sucking noises." Then this man proceeded to do so, and play online with friends is much better when you can just go into a lobby,
yeah,
a private party, and not have to deal.
Yeah,
with
I think you've kind of hit on the head. Well, I don't like. Hey, I don't want to play with nobody online.
I mean, to be fair though, you can join a party like a PlayStation party or even a Discord chat and just play that way and not have to deal with that nonsense.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, let's talk about this state of play. I don't even know how to transition from that. Like, Sony decided to have a state of play for October, and they showed a myriad of things. I guess we'll kind of go down the list real quick.
Before we even start, I also saw a TikTok relating to the state of play from Ray Narvaez Jr., one of my favorite streamers. He has a TikTok channel with, like, bits of it. Just watching the state of play, and that I don't know what game it's for, but it's like, "Shatter Your Expectations" comes up. It's like, okay. And then the woman pops up and she pulls her glasses off. And then it goes, "Dolores." And he just loses it. So.
But yeah, they showed some games. I wanted to hear Haley's response to these games. So the first one they showed was, I'm going down the list of IGN. I don't know if this is in order or not, but this is what I'm going off of. New gameplay show for Little Devil Inside. Have you seen... What did you think of this, Haley?
State of Play. You know why?
God damn it!
Do you know why I haven't watched State of Play?
Why have you not watched it?
I was working when it aired. And then I've seen people post the gameplay bits online. So I've seen the gameplay, just not the State of Play.
Okay, so...
It looks all right.
So what did you think of
it? Not my type of game, though.
I agree. Let me first and foremost say... Most of these games for this state of play for me were kind of just mad at me. I was like, it's not interesting. I'm not interested in that. There are some games, even the games that they showed that I thought were cool, were stuff that I kind of already played. So I was like, okay. Well, one particular game I kind of already played a little bit of. I'm like, all right, I can play this on Xbox, so I can care less if it's in this state of play. But we'll get to that. This game looked okay. I'm like, oh, this is a fun-looking game. I don't think I'll play it. I don't. It doesn't have any interest in me. But
it looks,
moving on.
It looks very good, but it's just not my type of game.
Yeah. Bugsnax. The Isle of Bugsnax is getting a free update.
It's Bugsnax.
I did not like this game when it came out. I know people love it. I thought it was just
this breaking news for people. This game is getting trophies for its DLC solely because of Greg Miller. So you're welcome, everybody.
Yes, Greg Miller has an inside track to this game. And it's getting trophies now because of him. But yeah, I didn't like Bugsnax. A lot of people like it, so it's getting some free DLC. I think that's cool that they're doing that. So there you go. Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach launches later this year, which is December 16th, is coming out.
Amazing.
I have seen this so much about this game.
I'm going to say something controversial. Amazing how much better this game looks once the creator is no longer involved.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I have seen, they seem like every event they show this game. I'm sick of seeing it. I feel like every other month we see something about this game.
It's December that it's coming out, isn't it?
Yeah, December 16th. Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll play it?
No, absolutely not. Five Nights at Freddy's isn't my type of game. Not, like, I don't have a problem with horror games. It's just I'm not interested in like Five Nights at Freddy's.
Me neither. I've never been interested in this series.
But like
this one looks better than the other ones look, because the other ones look just flat out terrible.
It's fun to watch people freak out, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. This one looks a lot better than the previous one, so hopefully it's good. If people say it's good, I'll at least try it. I've never tried a Five Nights at Freddy's game. Never been really interested in it. This looks a little bit better than the other ones, so I may look at it if somebody else says it's really good.
I'm waiting for you to bring up a specific game. I wonder if it's next.
Star Ocean, the Divine Force, announced for PS4 and PS5. You know what? I will say this. I didn't know they were making a new Star Ocean game.
I like Imran Khan's tweet in relation to this. It's like, can they make a new protagonist already? Because this guy looks like wet bread.
I used to like the Star Ocean game. I think I played it. Was it a PS2 or something like that?
I don't know. The game's been around for years. It's not my type of game. I've never played Star Ocean.
I played the original Star Ocean. I liked it a lot. So when I me seeing it, it's like, oh, that's cool. Another Star Ocean game. I'd try it. Out of all the games on here that they showed, I'd probably actually try this one. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Star Ocean. I haven't played Star Ocean in a while, but I'll definitely try this one and just see if it's something I would like. I'm always down to play a new RPG because RPGs to me are cool. I like RPG games. So,
looking for a good RPG to play this month's PlayStation Plus game, baby.
What's the PlayStation Plus game this month? I forget.
Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Oh yeah, okay. I have that one. I need to play that now that you mentioned it. Thank you for reminding me.
There's a new DLC for it coming out next year, which is wild because that game came out. And I think when did Mass Effect 3 come out?
A while ago.
2012. A game from 2012 is getting a whole new expansion in 2021,
2022. Well, who owns that now? Is it THQ?
Yes.
Yeah, apparently they're supposed to be doing a lot of stuff with Kingdoms of Amalur now. They were going to, like, a sequel game and all this other stuff. They're
so excited for it, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going all in with it, which I think is cool. I think it's cool that they're going to revive this franchise and do what they can with it. Kingdoms of Amalur was a fun game.
Yeah, so for anyone who's never played it, it does very interesting things with the combat. Like, in most games, you'll have, like, a special attack. But, like, with this one, you don't really have special attacks so much as, like, you build up this meter. And once the meter's full, you stop time, essentially. And, like, you, like, damage enemies to the point that they're almost dead. And then, like, you trigger, like, if you're playing PlayStation, the X button, or on the Xbox, the A button, and then you do like you like mash the button a couple times, and then you do this big smashing like time weaving effect that just like sucks the life out of all the enemies you've damaged. It's great, and it's very fun, and it's also a game where like you don't have to stick to one class. You can be a jack of all trades, master of none, or a specific class if you want. So.
Okay, the next game on our list, Death Verse, a battle royale game set in the Let It Die universe.
Do you know what Let It Die is?
Yes, that's that game that came out that was by Grasshopper Studios. That was the weird game.
I don't think
it was free to play.
It was free to play. You ascended the tower, essentially like it was Dark Souls, but free. And also it had like pay to win mechanics. Once you reached a specific level of the tower, at that point you like had to start having to buy gear. I think it's like level 26 out of 100. You start at the having to buy gear. I don't know. It's fun. Very interesting to see how a battle royale works in that universe, though.
Yeah, another battle royale game in a sea full of battle royale games that I don't think I would touch or play. But it's cool for those who want to try it. I think this is a different take on it because that universe people like. I don't think they like Let It Die, but they like that universe, so that's cool.
Oh, no, Let It Die has a very peculiar fan base. Yeah. Like,
seem like their fan base, Let It Die.
That's terrible, Delvin.
That was fantastic.
That was such a bad pun. Anyways, no, it has like a dedicated fan base, and it's not just like Let It Die was on PS4 and Steam, and it still gets updates to this day, so it's got a very dedicated community. So
cool. King of Fighters 15 beta starts next month. So for those who are interested, I like King of Fighters, by the way. From November 19th to November 22nd, the beta includes 8 playable fighters with online matches and an offline training mode. And it's available for both PS4 and PS5, the beta. So if you want to play King of Fighters 15, there you go. Have at it. I like King of Fighters series. I'll definitely be trying the full game when it comes out. So that's cool. I'm not going to try the beta. I don't get into too many betas, like especially like fighting game betas, because it's mostly like, hey, want to play online games? You know, Delvin doesn't do that. But yeah, you like King of Fighters, Haley?
No, I've never played a King of Fighters game.
You should try, but I think you like it if you like fighting games at least. First Class Trouble is a mafia-like game coming to PlayStation Plus. So have you seen this game, Haley?
I saw the promo image for the leaked PlayStation Plus games that were then confirmed, so.
This is essentially Among Us with people. That's all this is.
Great.
It's a. Let me read the description for it. In First Class Trouble, a group of players work together to try and escape a cruise ship. But two of them are secretly trying to sabotage the team. From November 2nd to December 6th, PS Plus subscribers on PS4 and PS5 can download the game for no additional cost. So, yeah, there you go. I want to play Among Us, so maybe I can play this instead. This would probably be a cool game to try that Among Us formula in just to kind of get the feel for it. So I may try this one. You think you'll try it, Haley?
No.
Moving on. like I said, this to me, this whole thing was lackluster.
Yeah, it was the only thing that I'm excited about you haven't brought up yet, but I'm sure it's coming up. So
yeah, I'm probably saving that one for last. But We Are OFK is coming to PS5 and PS4 in 2022. We Are OFK follows the lives of an indie pop band, OFK, in a story-based adventure. The game follows the band members' career, love lives, and more. In addition to the game, the band's EP drops next year. Have you seen this trailer?
Not this one, but I've heard about it. So is this a real band or what? I don't know.
It's an actual band. They have a video game. The game kind of... It's kind of a weird like story adventure game where you can like build on their relationships and stuff like that. And if I remember correctly, it's like the trailer's chug-in-cheek. And it's funny, it's supposed to be cute and stuff like that. I think it'll find a cool audience. I don't know if it's for me, but happy that it's getting made. Cool. Now, last but definitely not least, the best thing that was clearly shown on this whole event, Death Door comes to PS5 November 23rd. Now, Dev got super excited about this because he loves
Death Door. He got so excited, he pre-ordered it again, even though he's already beat it.
Yeah. And see, this clearly is the best thing on this whole state of play. But my whole thing about it was, if you already have Xbox, you already have Death Door. I don't need to play this again. I can just play it on my Xbox. So it didn't move me like it moved everybody else. That's my point. I'll pick it up. It's an awesome game. Clearly the best game in this whole state of play. So if you haven't played Death Door...
But they set... Like, that's the thing. These state of play expectations get so out of whack, even though PlayStation literally said, hey, this is a third party state of play. They didn't say it was, like, big third parties. They just said third party titles, so...
I've said this to a couple people. I think I said it to Fowler specifically. This could have been a PlayStation blog post. This probably should have been a PlayStation blog post. We didn't need a whole state of play for this. Death's Door is cool.
I loved seeing all the people like assuming that Final Fantasy 16 was going to be here.
I knew that was going to be
here. I was like, that's not going to happen. Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker comes out in like 3 weeks.
They are smoking crack if they thought they were going to see Final Fantasy 16. Here. Not a chance in hell.
As soon as they said the show was going to be like 20 minutes, I was like, well, there's no way this is like big titles.
Yeah, they're showing, they still have to finish showing that other Final Fantasy weird game they got coming out.
Oh.
Can't remember the name of it.
Chaos. What is that? I need this title now. Hold on. It's like Final Fantasy Chaos something.
So we're not going to see no Final Fantasy 15 until they show that game 1,000 more times. Like I said,
found it. Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Also, like, the trailers for that game are so weird. He walks in with, like, a phone playing, like, music and, like, yada, 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 yada. And, like, it's so weird. I don't know. Final Fantasy is a weird thing.
Yeah. But overall, this state of play for me was lackluster. I think Death's Door is awesome. People should play that. I played a okay amount on Xbox. Once I finish everything up, probably in December, I'll just go right through that game and complete it or get as far as I can. It's a very diverse state of play, so I think that's good. It's a bevy of games that are vastly different from each other, so that's cool. But nothing really moves me to be like, oh, I want to play that. I'm excited for that. So, okay. What are your final thoughts for it, Haley?
I mean, state of plays are never like the big things, but Sony always does like showcases for the big stuff. So, I don't know. Managed expectations, I guess. I wasn't really expecting anything. Death's Door is cool. I'll give it a shot. Because I didn't have an Xbox when it launched.
You definitely should. That's the one. That's the crown jewel of this whole thing. Death's Door. That's the one you want to play. That's the one you should be excited for. Super cool game. Super cool aesthetic. Definitely try that one out.
Yeah, so I'll give that a shot for sure, but everything else, I don't know. Like, I enjoyed Let It Die for what it was, but like, I'm not excited for a battle royale in that universe.
I agree. All right, I think that's about it, Haley.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts you want to say before we head out into the pasture?
Yeah, I'll say it here. Anybody who wants to hear me talk about Smallville, I'm going to be doing a podcast with Mr. Fowler about Smallville as a retrospective kind of show. Fowler's never seen it, and he's watching it for the first time, and I'm the experienced viewer, so this will be interesting to see how that goes.
Haley is the master of Smallville. Fowler's a huge DC fan. He's never seen a single episode of Smallville. So Haley's going to kind of be teaching Fowler the ropes about this kind of classic show. I know people have their kind of reservations about Smallville because it's dated. It's a very dated show.
It's not just dated. Let's be real here. Part of the reason people have apprehension about Smallville now is related to an actress who literally did not get what she should have got. She should have got way more time than 3 years for branding people in a sex cult. But, you know. For reference,
there's
a reason you did not see Allison Mack at any of the 20th anniversary events relating to Smallville, and that's because she's in prison where she belongs.
Yes. Yeah, that's a whole other story.
It is. But no, alongside that, like, Smallville has some episodes that are just out there. Like, I love Smallville, but like, there are episodes that just go way outside the norm. Like, I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head.
All of them.
No. There's an episode in season one where a character can control bees and uses it to like be petty in high school. It's weird. I love Smallville, but it does.
That was a good pun. Be petty.
God damn it. Like, it's got some moments where, like, wow, this is not great. But without Smallville, stuff like the Arrowverse wouldn't exist, so.
I agree. That's why I think Smallville's important, because Smallville opened up. I know we say Arrow. A lot of people like to say Arrow opened up this multiverse of characters for the DC Universe on TV, which is correct.
It did.
But without Smallville, there would be no Arrow. Without the success of Smallville, which was 10 plus years, there would be no Arrowverse.
10 plus years and counting. We're getting pretty close. They're going to bring it back as an animated show, I'm pretty sure. So that'll be fun. But no, because Smallville.
Will he be Superman in the show?
Probably. I don't know. I would hope so. It depends what they do. It depends what they do with it, because it may be a retelling with like less filler. There's 218 episodes of Smallville spread over 10 seasons. So that'll be a thing to watch out for. But no, like it's just like they had tried other DC shows before Smallville, which is why when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths as part of the Arrowverse, they referenced that. Like they referenced
a lot of them were terrible.
I mean, yeah, they referenced the Adam West
Lois
Batman.
And Clark terrible.
Well, they didn't reference that one for a very specific reason we won't get into. But no, like they referenced the Adam West Batman show. They referenced the Birds of Prey TV show. And then, you know, there's stuff that's come out after the Arrowverse, like Titans, Doom Patrol, which is Doom Patrol's fantastic, by the way.
Yes.
So, yeah. So look out for that if you're excited about that.
Yeah, definitely go check out for that. And I think that's about it.
Yeah. Thank you, you know where to find us.
Yeah, find us on Twitter, or you won't find me in Discord. Find me everywhere else. Well, yeah. Thank you guys for listening. We are out. Peace.